So we're reaching out for you to come and support us to protect this sacred site because of the history of what happened to indigenous people. If you know the history, since 1492, over 80 million indigenous people have been genocide. Our land have been taken. We've been given false treaties, 389 treaties, and now we're trying to protect our sacred sites, our last remaining piece of land that is very sacred to indigenous people. So we reach out to you in a humble way, because we believe DVRD and the city of Vallejo are in violation of civil rights, human rights, a hate crime under H.R. 1913, and it could be a violent act. As indigenous people, we would not go over to your cemeteries and destroy them. What would happen to us if we would do that? So I want to thank each and every one of you. If you could get in touch with us and come down to the sacred site, stay a day or two, so we can show the city of Vallejo that it's not only indigenous people that are trying to protect this site, it's the people that we want to come down there as earth people to protect this sacred site. My next speaker will be my sister, Corrine. Thank you very much.
Wow, there's lots of y'all here, huh? It's good to see all of you guys tonight. Horshe Tuke Ka'a'ashanka Ka'a'ra'a Corrine. I said, good day. My name's Corrine and I'm Lashanka, or Chochenyo. I'm Ohlone, and that was the first language that was spoken on the East Bay, and my great-grandfather, Jose Guzman, was one of the last speakers of that language. And I'm happy to be here tonight, and I'm happy to see. How many of you guys have gone to Glen Cove or Sogorite? Woo, yeah, thank you. I'm going to give you a little bit of history about shell mounds. Shell mounds are the burial sites of our ancestors, and they're not just village sites, but they were always burial sites. There are some village sites that didn't have burials, but all of the shell mounds are burial sites. And they were places where we laid our ancestors to rest. And we did that, we actually buried them with soil and then covered them with shell and then more soil. And as the years and centuries went by, these mounds became huger and huger. And they became monuments of the people that lived here in the Bay Area. In 1909, this man named Nels Nelson, he worked at UC Berkeley in the archaeology department, and he realized that the Bay Area had all of these monuments there, but there was so much development happening in 1909 that he wanted to be able to put in place where these burials, these shell mounds were. And so he ran around the Bay Area, and at that time in 1909, he found 425 shell mounds that ring the Bay Area. Places that were monuments to the Ohlone people and the Bay Miwok people. And so he did that, and he put those down. And Sogorite is Solano County 236. It was on that map in 1909. We've been doing shell mound work for probably the last 12 years. And because of the work that we were doing, we began to work with Wounded Knee, who was working on this site. Perry, who is a resident here in San Francisco and has been really supportive of doing this work, he actually worked on sites before I even got involved in doing work around sacred site issues and stuff. And he helped to preserve a site in San Bruno. Mount San Bruno is a shell mound there that will be protected forever because of the work that they did in order to bring light to that area. In 2005, we began to do a shell mound walk because we were starting to get, in 1999, we started an organization in Oakland called Indian People Organizing for Change. And we started it because they were closing the bases in the Naval, in Alameda, the Naval Air Station, and the Army base in Oakland. And there was a group of Native people that came together and they wanted to find out if people were interested, if Native people in the Bay Area were interested in having a training center there. And we began to do basic community organizing stuff. We went door to door, started knocking on people's door, asking them if that's what they would be interested in. And we found out that people weren't so much interested as a training center out there, but actually having a voice in their communities. And we began to set up meetings so that they can talk to city council and they could begin to do different kinds of actions and stuff like that. In the midst of doing all that, I got my first phone call in Alameda. I was living as on-site case manager for a domestic violence program on the Alameda base. And I got a phone call from the housing authority in Alameda, and they said, we found one of your ancestors. Can you come and tell us what we should do? And the housing authority, because there was a leak underneath the house, they accidentally found her kneecap. And she was over 3,800 years old. So it was my grandma, 3,800-year-old grandma that was there. And they had to remove her and so that they can get the pipe fixed. They found her by accident. So there are shell mounds all over Alameda. There's shell mounds all over Oakland. We got a phone call about 13 bodies being removed in San Jose because they wanted to put a swimming pool in new condominiums that they were putting up there. And we went there to pray. And we went there and we demonstrated. And we went there at night because they wouldn't let us in to put our prayers down properly. And we got chased by the police. And so that's the way we had to deal with stuff like that. And we found out about the Emeryville one. Emeryville broke my heart. They knew about the city of Emory. The city of Emeryville knew about that project, about it being on a sacred ground, and it was one of the oldest places around. Not old as the one in Berkeley, but it was really old. It was on an 1852 Coast Survey map, so people coming into the Bay Area way back then could see this and use it as a point of reference as they were coming into the Bay Area. It was that huge. It was 60 feet high and 350 feet in diameter. It was a huge place, and always our shell mounds run along the side of freshwater creeks, where it goes right into the bay and it meets the salt water. That's where we are. We ate lots of shellfish. We ate lots of other things, but we ate lots of shellfish. So we used the shell to cover our ancestors in that kind of a way, in a respectful kind of manner. But a long time ago, Emeryville's mound was desecrated, and there was a lot of stuff that was put on top of it before EPA laws were brought in. During the dot-com era, everybody remembers that, when the internet became all famous and stuff like that, folks were like just dying to buy anything or were outbidding each other for houses that didn't cost that much a long time ago. And the Bay Area was booming with money. And Emeryville was having a hard time. And they decided that they got some money from the United States government to clean up the brownfield there. But what they found was a huge burial site. And it was toxic. And many of our ancestors' bones was messed up with the crude stuff that they put, arsenic and different horrible things into the ground. And so thousands of our ancestors, we don't even know how many, were put into waste dumps. The ones that were kept were put away. They were put on an unmarked grave that even Ohlone people don't know where they are on that mall. So the day after Thanksgiving, the biggest shopping day of the year, we go down there every year. And we protest, we do an educational protest so something like this never happens again. We did shell mound walks because we were realizing that people didn't understand what shell mounds were. And we realized that people didn't know who Ohlone people were and that there were still Ohlone people that existed in the Bay Area. And we created these walks. We took Nels Nelson's map, we figured out the route, and we walked. The first year, we walked 280 miles. We walked from Segorite down to San Jose, up the other side. And it took us 3 weeks, and we were supported by people from Japan, from Australia, from the Cape Verde Islands, from Nova Scotia, and people all over this country. And they came and they walked with us and we prayed. And we did that for 4 years. We did different routes, but we stopped and we did that. This last weekend, we had a couple of students. We have 5 students that was working with us this semester from UC Berkeley. And they did a route, a one-day route for Oakland. And we started in Union Point Park. And we walked to Jack London Square, we walked around the east side of the lake and up to 55th and Telegraph, and we stopped at 7 different sites. Every one of those sites was covered with a building, with a parking lot, with streets. None of it was uncovered. All of those shell mounds that once existed were gone. We've been working on Segorite for 12 years. Wounded started out with working on that kind of stuff. Went to city council meetings. We went to and asked them to please not desecrate the site, to please leave the site as it is, to not move anything more than they had already destroyed it, and basically got sent away. The Greater Vallejo Recreation District, which Wendy was talking about, GVRD, is this evil two people, basically. And we went to their meetings a lot because the city of Vallejo is set up in a little different way. The Parks District is not under the city. It has its own council and everything. And so we went and talked in front of there. They have something called an environmental impact report where they have to say how it's going to affect the environment if they do something like that. They don't say that there's not a shell mound there, but they say that they're not going to disturb it in any way. In 1984, they took land, they built up these condominiums, and they took land from one area above where the 15 acres is, and they moved it to where Segurite is, that part of it. And when they did that, they found 12 burials and 6 cremations and funerary objects. And they took those and they put them at UC Berkeley. But then they just moved the rest of the land. And so they're saying that none of that land has anything else in it. Now for me, something that's more than 3,500 years old, that's a little strange that they would find 12 individuals and a couple of cremations and nothing else would be there. So they want to grade this hill that they created with the land that they moved. They want to grade it down 7 or 8 feet so folks can have a better view of the water. And we're saying, no, that's not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen. They want to put a bathroom on top of a place where we know that they had, that there was burials before, and that we know that there probably still are individuals that are under there. They want to put a parking lot so that folks can go to through a bike trail. They want a bike trail there. We know that because we've been on the land that there is ample street parking. We've had over 300 people there and have never needed for parking. And so we know that that's not needed. And so it's crazy. We fought them. We went there. We talked to them. We pleaded with them. And when they were going through the draft EIR process, we said, please don't desecrate our ancestors. Please allow this not to happen. And in their final EIR report, what they said was, it doesn't have anything to do with the EIR, no comment required, move on. So they dismissed us. 1 week before we came into the site, we went and met with them one more time, and we asked them again, don't grade the hill, don't put a bathroom, don't put a parking lot. And they dismissed us again. They treated us like we had tails for about 10 years. And then on the 14th of April, when we found out that their permits were gonna go through, when the city of Vallejo, who is broke, waived $85,000 worth of permits for them to do this desecration, we went and we took the site and we set up an altar, and we've been praying there ever since. And we've asked folks to come and help us to do that. You know, it was interesting because they didn't know what to do, and they still don't know what to do with us, which is a good thing right now. But I think our ancestors are really taking care of us in that kind of a way, because we have people that have come from all walks of life to help support us. And the interesting thing is that GVRD has always told us that Glen Cove Park, Waterfront Park, was something that they were doing because they promised it to the residents that lived there closest to it. And we have had so much support from the Glen Cove residents. They bring us firewood, and they brought us tarps and food and water and ice, and you know, they come down and they spoke for us at their own meeting in support of what we're doing there, not knowing, not being told by GVRD or the city of Vallejo that this is a burial site. And they don't want it to be disturbed. People still come there and they fish. I mean, we had a guy that came a couple weeks ago and he caught a sturgeon as tall as me, you know. So, I mean, people go there and fish. They do that all the time and we don't disturb them. People come through with their bikes, they walk their dogs, they bring their families. And that doesn't disturb, that doesn't disturb us. What we want them to do is to leave it alone and leave us to have our ceremonies when we need to have our ceremonies, and to allow us to have that place to pray. When I was talking about those shell mounds where we were staying and praying this weekend, when we prayed all of those years, we're standing on asphalt, we're standing on cement, you know, when we're saying our prayers. At Segurite, we can stand there with the land and we can say our prayers. We can send them up in that kind of way, the way that we were supposed to all along. You know, the way that we were meant to, the way that we were taught. It was our original teachings. All of us have original teachings. It doesn't matter where your background is. But this is how we were taught, and this is the way that we choose to do this, and that we have the right to do that as American Indian people, that this is our right. And so when we went to meet with them, it wasn't about meeting with them about not putting the parking lot or the bathrooms on. What they wanted to meet with us about was this vigil that we were having. They were being nice to us by allowing us to be there. They were being nice to us by not having us have permits there. And we were saying, no, we have the God-given right. We also have the right, the Freedom of Religion Act of 1978. We also have the UN Declaration on Indigenous Peoples' Rights that allows us to pray the way we want to choose our sacred sites, and to pass on that information to the next generation. That's our right to do that. And so we set up this sacred fire, and that fire has been burning since the 14th of April, and it has not gone out. We have people on different parts of this country who have set up sacred fires to burn as long as ours does in support of us. We have people in different parts of the world that have set up sacred fires to do the same thing. We have all these people that have been, that are doing this. And what GVRD says is that one Indian says it's okay to do this. And so they want to desecrate the site. They say they went through the law process, and the process is okay with them. And we're saying, no, it's not good enough. We're standing up, and we're standing for our ancestors. And that we're not going to allow them to continue to do this. That we're not going to allow them to continue to bury, to unbury our ancestors and put them wherever they feel like it, in lockers and storage places. That's not how it's going to be anymore. That there's a generation of people who know that where we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to stand and how we're supposed to act. And it might have been okay before, but it's not okay now. What happens, no matter who you are, is when we have burials, when somebody in our family passes away, we have ceremony to put them back down. It doesn't matter what religion you are or what culture you come from. We all have that. We go through those processes in order to grieve. None of us have the process to bring them back up. Nobody has that. Nobody has those ceremonies. And we shouldn't have to continue to do that and have our people being desecrated like that. We shouldn't have to stand beside them and cry while this is going on. We shouldn't have to tell our children we're sorry that this is going on. We had to make a stand. The interesting thing is that today I got an email, and the email said that there is a serpent mound that's about to be desecrated by bulldozers. And those people decided to take a stand too. And they're going to do a sit-in, and they're asking for other folks to help them out. So this is something that is not just here in the Bay Area, but it's going on all over the country. Sacred sites of indigenous peoples have been desecrated since people got here, since other folks got here. And now it's time to stop. And we're not asking just Indian people to come and help us stop it, but every individual. Nobody should have to go through this desecration. One cool thing was that we had, finally the mayor came down. Wounded's known him for 60 years. They went to school together, they grew up together. He didn't want to come down there. Political stuff gets involved. Finally he came down there, not saying anything. You know, he just came and listened. And one of the things that I told him is that the city of Vallejo has an opportunity to do something that no other city in the Bay Area has done. They can stand up and say, we are going to protect this sacred site. We are not going to allow it to get bulldozed over. We are going to allow it for the next seven generations. We're going to allow it forever to remain here. And we're going to allow this to happen in the city of Vallejo. And that would be a win-win situation. But they've stopped talking to us. They've decided that they don't want to talk. They don't know how to talk to us. They don't know what those federal laws are, you know, which is a good thing for us because they don't know what to do, so we're at a standstill right now. And so now it's our opportunity to come out and talk to folks like you and for you guys to spread the word that this thing is going on right here in our own backyards. And every single day, there's a burial that's being disturbed in Pleasanton. There's burials that have been disturbed in San Ramon. There's burials that have been disturbed for years in San Francisco. You know, all over the Bay Area, these shell mounds are existed. Today, where do we have to take people? When you go out, and I love the way Perry says it, is that when you go to other countries, you can go to Stonehenge and you can touch that ancient monument that was there. You can go to the pyramids in Egypt and all in South America and you could touch those places. You could feel that culture that was there. When you have family and relatives that come to the Bay Area, what monuments do you have to take them to? Where can you take them and show them of the places that people lived before? You know, do you take them to Emeryville and show them the fake little mound that was there that has nothing to do with our culture? It doesn't even say that there was thousands of people buried there. You know, it doesn't tell us anything. When we go to school and we're in third grade, we learn about the mission systems. Most adults don't even remember what they learned about it. My ancestors were directly enslaved at Mission Dolores and Mission San Jose. I know where I came from and that we still exist. I have children, so I know that we're going to continue to exist. But people in the Bay Area don't know that. We come from such a huge melting pot. People come from all over the world, but they don't understand that we are still here and that we're not just a street sign. We're not just that name of a place. We're not just Ohlone Way and Shellmount Street, you know? We are more than that. We have culture and language and stuff that we're supposed to do. you know, and with your help, we can continue to do that. You know, so I ask you guys to come out. Help us support us. Support us in this site, but support us continuously to go on and on. That this isn't just happening here. It's happening all over the place. And that it's our responsibility, not just as the Indian community, but as people in general, to stand up for these sacred sites, to allow people to be to rest in peace forever. Because that's what we do as a people, no matter who we are. When we lay our relatives down, it's forever. It's not just for a couple of decades. So I want to thank you guys for coming out and listening to me. And I probably forgot a gazillion things. I think if you guys have questions, before you have questions, I think Michelle, who's been one of our people that's been working on the site with us recently, wants to talk a little bit about something.